Today is December 14th, Sunday, and we're going to be talking about a topic today that we've talked about before on here, but we're going to get into a little bit more detail on this concept. Mark, what is the topic for, what's the topic of the discussion?
Universalist.
Universalist, or universalism, would work. You know, like I do so many times, I think it's important to go ahead and look up the definition of universalist, or universalism. Universalist is one who is a member of a religious denomination which is now united with the Unitarians, the Webster's Dictionary says, now united with the Unitarians, that upholds the belief that all men will be saved. Now, you know, one of the things that we have to think about in that term is that it basically describes that it's affecting the whole world without limit or exceptions. Now, the universalist and the universalism doctrine is very, very close to the doctrine of Billy Graham. The only difference in the Unitarians and the Billy Grahamites is what I call potentiality. Billy Graham teaches that God made it possible for all men to be saved, whereas the Universalist teaches that all men will eventually be saved. Now, if I were to tell you that the Universalist is actually more theologically correct than Billy Graham, what would you say to me?
I would say no.
Well, it's true, they are. And let me tell you why. One first has to understand the substitutionary atonement. If one holds that Christ actually literally died for the sins of all the world, well, I guarantee you all the world will be saved. See that?
Yeah.
That's the Universalist scheme. But Billy Graham is totally irrational and illogical in his teaching, because his saying is that God died for all men, but just some will be saved because of man. So the salvation or the damnation of man is left up to man, not up to God. You see the distinction there?
Yeah.
And so in reality, the Universalist is closer to being theologically correct. They are not. They're totally incorrect, because God did not die for all men without exception. But if God did die for all men without exception, it is most emphatically true that all men will be saved. Because if Christ died for all men, then that means that his effectual work would have to save them. But here is the whole problem with both the Universalist and with Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, this is not pick on Billy Graham Day, it's just Billy Graham and the Southern Baptist and 99 9/10% of the Christendom world that teaches that God made it possible for all men to be saved. What they're actually saying is his death was not really effectual for anyone. That man's free will is what makes his death effectual. And that's not what Scripture teaches. Man has nothing to do with his salvation. God has everything to do with man's salvation, for whom he died. So what the Universalists are saying is that God died without exception for all men is a denial of Scripture, and we can point to many, many Scriptures to show that Christ's death was not effectual for all men. Now, first let us show some examples in Scripture to prove that God did not die for all men without exception. And a good place to start with that is in, again, go back to the 6th chapter of John. I know we've been here many, many times, but we have to be consistent with our theology and with what the Bible teaches. Okay. Now, I want you to read the 37th verse for me.
All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
So the coming to Jesus Christ originates with the Father giving them to the Son. Okay? Now also, this matter of faith, a lot of people say that it's a person's personal faith that brings him the merits of God's salvation. I'm going to repeat that. I got to have a little drink of water here. People say that it's the merit of man's personal faith that brings him to salvation. And so it's giving man the credit for his faith rather than God. But here, Christ says something totally different. Read the 29th verse.
Of the same chapter?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent.
So the faith to believe is the work of God, not the work of man. And so this is why it is wrong in that the universalists teach that all men will be saved. We know the Bible teaches that all men will not be saved. In fact, it teaches that there is an eternal hell. So the universalists deny the eternality of hell. They deny that man will be cast into hell. Those who reject Jesus Christ are without faith, for whom Christ did not die for. Now, we also see that there is a direct work of the Father in drawing us to the Son for whom Christ died in the 44th verse.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day.
So that a person cannot even come to Jesus Christ, what Christ says himself, unless the Father has drawn that person to Jesus Christ. Now he goes on to say, in the 65th verse, he repeats it again, that if we were not given to Jesus Christ by the Father, we cannot come to him. 65th verse.
And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
Okay, so there is an exclusive arrangement between the Father and the Son, and applying the effectual work of Christ on the cross to God's elect by a consent of the Father giving, well, not really a consent, a work of the Father giving us to the Son. Now, read the 63rd verse, because the Holy Spirit is involved in this as well. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all working together to bring about the elect salvation.
This is Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Okay, now, the universalists teach that, again, that all men without exception will come to be saved, will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we're first dispelling that very notion. And we're showing the comparison between the Universalists and the Southern Baptist Church and the Grahamites, and 99 9/10% of all of those in the pseudo-Christian church. Again, you know, we have to realize that the universalists are bringing together the whole world without exception into the saving work of Jesus Christ, without any limit, without any exception. And the Universalist, like we stated earlier, is a member of a religious denomination that's now united with the Unitarians, and they uphold the belief that all men will be saved. Well, they want to make this universal. Now, the question that we have for the Universalists is, we know that millions upon millions upon millions of people have died in the Muslim faith. Many of millions of people have died in the Hindu faith. Many of millions of people have died in the Buddhist faith. And the Universalists say that all of these people will be saved. And so they deny the other scripture that says that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. So the Universalists are also denying that particular scripture. They're also denying the scripture in Philippians 2:9 that says that he's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, now Mark, go back to the 10th chapter of John. We're now pointing out the distinction here, or the lie of the Universalist, that denomination that's now tied to the Unitarian movement, that says that all men will be saved. Now, we already talked about the fact that belief and faith is a gift from God. And those that have the belief and faith are God's sheep, and those who do not have belief or faith in Jesus Christ as the only Son of God are not his sheep. Now, read for us what Jesus says in the first and second verse of chapter 10.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
Now, I want you to go down. He's saying that if you go in through as a Buddhist or as a Hindu or as a Muslim or as those religions that we talked about a while ago, and you die in that state, that you're a thief and a robber. Okay? Now, he goes on and he says, which totally negates and dispels the Universalist theology that all men will be saved. Read verse 26.
You believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you.
So he says that there are some that are sheep and some that are not. There are some that do believe and some that do not believe, in contradistinction to what the Universalists, the Unitarians, the Unity Church, and many, many, many denominations teach. Now, read verse 27.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Okay, so he basically is setting forth here that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are those that are of his sheep, and there are those who are not. Those who are not will never be recipients of eternal life and the recipients of his death on the cross. Now, how does that compare and contrast with the Southern Baptist movement and 99 9/10% of the pseudo-Christian world that teaches that God made it possible for all men to be saved? God made it possible for all men to be saved. Well, now we're going to look at that doctrine and see how it is as much in error as the other doctrine that we just addressed, which is the Universalist doctrine. The Southern Baptist Convention, the United Methodist, United Presbyterian, the Disciples of Christ, the Campbellites, the Christian Church, all those teaches the potentiality of all men being saved. Well, let's go back now to the 6th chapter of John and see where this potentiality is. Jesus Christ himself dispels and says is a lie. And he says that we're going to read this verse 40.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone would see the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life.
Okay.
I will raise him up the last day.
There are two conditions for one having everlasting life. One is they have to be able to see the Son, and they have to believe on him. Now, we already know that believing on him is a work of God, and having spiritual sight to be able to see the Son is a gift from God. It is a gift of God. Read verse 39.
And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day.
Okay, now, God is not going to lose any of those for whom he has died, he says. He will lose nothing. His blood is effectual for all whom he died for. The potentiality that's preached by Billy Graham and all these other churches is actually negating and lying about the effectual blood of Jesus Christ. They're saying that his blood was shed in a manner which it could fail because of man. God's death on the cross was effectual for all for whom he died. Now, he says that there are going to be many that are not going to believe on him, and the believing on them is directly tied to the fact that he did not die for them. Okay? And read verse 65 again.
And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
The only way anyone is going to have, if you want to use the word, the potentiality to come to Jesus Christ is if they were given to Jesus Christ by the Father. It's all a work of the Trinity. It has nothing to do with man. And this is the lie that's purported by Billy Graham and the likes of the Arminian churches. Now, we also are going to see we're going to go back to the 10th chapter of John to confront Southern Baptist, United Methodist, the Disciples of Christ, all of these major movements that are saying that God made it possible for all men to be saved. Read verse 28.
I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
The Father and the Son are the ones that give his sheep eternal life. The sheep are not the ones that decide whether they want it or not. Okay, there's the distinction. The Holy Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the ones in a covenantal relationship from the foundation of the world in an everlasting covenant that decided who would be his and who would not be his. It's not left up to man, it's left up to God. Now, we're going to go now back to probably your least favorite book in the Bible if you're an Arminian or you're upholding the Southern Baptist erroneous teaching. The 9th chapter of Romans will totally dispel the notion that Jesus Christ died and made it possible for all men to be saved. You have to cut the 9th chapter of Romans out of your Bible if you're going to uphold the Graham doctrine, just like Adrian Rogers did. He totally denied this and turned it around on its face in terms of what it teaches. Now, I want you to see that the decision for whom Christ died rests solely with the Godhead and not upon man. Read for me, if you will, the 11th verse of the 9th chapter of Romans.
The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, but the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth.
Now I want you to read verse 15.
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
So we see here then that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. It has nothing to do with man's decision. It has to do with God's grace. And instead of singing Amazing Grace, I believe that the people in the Arminian Church should be singing Amazing Free Will, because they are touting free willism. That's what they're touting. Now, he says that, therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. God hardens those for whom he did not die. I want to repeat that. God hardens the hearts of those for whom he did not die. That is in total contradistinction to Billy Graham and his teaching that God died for all men. No, God hardens those hearts for those for whom he did not die. Now, Mark, if you will, please read for me again the 18th verse.
Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth.
So we see that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the goats and the sheep. The goats want to be convinced that it is their decision that brings them to Christ. That is part of the hardening. Mark, read for me the 21st verse.
Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?
Okay, if God made some vessels unto honor and some unto dishonor, that's absolute proof that he did not die for all men without exception. That is your proof, Southern Baptist Church. That is proof, Billy Graham. That is proof, United Church of Christ. And that is proof, Disciples of Christ, that is proof, United Methodist, that Jesus Christ did not make it possible for all men to be saved. You're very close now. You're getting very close to identifying and going and joining the ranks of the Universalists, which are Unitarians and Unity and the Church of Scientology and Christ, the Christian Science Church. It's all becoming a part of metaphysics to try to force your brain to believe something that is not real. Now, Mark, I want you to read verse 22.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
That is totally in contradistinction to Billy Graham, who says that Jesus Christ loves everybody. Jesus Christ does not love everybody. In fact, he created vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And why did he do this? Well, he answers that question in verse 23. Mark, read that one.
That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory.
So there are two kinds of vessels. There's vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and there's vessels of mercy fitted for glory. And so what we wanted to point out here today is the compare and contrast how close the Southern Baptist and Billy Graham is to the Universalist and the Unitarian Church. We hope this has been helpful. We could go on and show you numerous passages regarding predestination and election and how that absolutely cannot be separated from the effectual blood of Jesus Christ. And if one tries to separate predestination and election from the effectual blood of Jesus Christ, then they are lying against the truth and against God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would take this lesson and help people to understand the importance that there are your people on the face of the earth, for whom you have died for, who you have predestinated, who you have chosen from the foundation of the world, and those other people who have not been a recipient of your grace, who are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. May your name be glorified in all these things. In Christ we pray. Amen.